Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Wolfberger from Israel Pesach Clifton. We are continuing a Daf HaShavua, Insights to the Daf, Insight into the Daf series. Tonight's shiur is on Maseches Brachos Daf Mem Zayin, and the topic is Amin Yisoma, Little Orphan Amin. The Gemara, towards the bottom of Mem Zayin and Aleph, brings down the following brisa, and the brisa tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, it was taught in a brisa, Ein onim, when it comes to answering amens, we're not allowed to answer the following way. Lo amen chatufa, not an amen that is grabbed. Lo amen katufa, not an amen that is cut off. One being where you don't enunciate the beginning, kind of like main as opposed to amay. Lo amen yisoma, nor an orphan amen. Lo yizrok bracha mipiv, nor should one literally throw a bracha out of his mouth, meaning you shouldn't make brachas haphazardly. You should really concentrate and think as to what you're making when you make a bracha. And Ben Azay Omer, Ben Azay says, Kol ona amen yisoma, you bon of yisomim. Somebody who utters such an amen will unfortunately merit to have children who become orphans as well, being punished mida keneged mida. Again, whatever that means, I don't know if it necessarily means that God forbid anybody who dies young and they leave orphans behind is because they were necessarily answered bad amens, but you know the idea is that this is a very serious idea. What exactly is an amen yisoma or an orphan amen? So Tosos on the Daf tells us right there. It says quotes, "Vizel shono she'ein shomei habracha mipiyam mevarich." You don't hear the bracha from the one who's making it. The ona acher ha'acherim she'shamu amen, and instead you're just answering the people who are saying amen. So what happens? A person comes and walks in, and to shul, and he hears a bunch of people saying amen, and you walk right in there and you say amen with them. That would be an example of an amen yisoma, which again the brisa says is not allowed to be done. And you also have the idea of Ben Azai coming in there and putting a klola, such a person who engages in such behavior. The problem is that Tosos quotes a very famous, well-known Gemara from the end of Maseches Sukkah. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Sukkah, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, tells us the following, and it says, I'll read the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishal Rod the Diyuf Lostun Shal Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. Nobody saw somebody who didn't see the great synagogue of Alexandria in Egypt, Lo Ra'a Bichvodan Shal Yisrael, did not see the true honor of Klal Yisrael. It was a very, very bechavadik building, a very, very bechavadik situation. And what does it describe it? So the Gemara continues to describe the following. Amru, kimin basilika gedola hayu, was like a giant basilika. Setyo lefnimi setyo, pews before pews. Palim mishiyu ba, shishim ribo al shishim ribo, kiflaim kiyotzi mitzrayim. Says that there were almost 60,000 people, maybe even more, over 1,600,000 people. Vahayu ba ayin alef katedriyo shal zav, can I get ayin Aleph Shal Sanhedrin Gedola, and going on to talk about the opulence of the shul, but it wasn't just the size that was such a big kavod to Klal Yisrael, the size of the building, but it was also about the size of the congregation. And that, of course, posed a logistical problem. And the logistical problem, of course, is how are you going to hear the chazan in such a big building? So the Gebraisa continues on to say, the chazan HaKnesses Omid Aleha, there was a giant platform of wood in the middle, the chazan HaKnesses Omer Aleha, and the Gabbai stood on it. The Hasudrim biyado, and he had flags in his hand, or handkerchiefs, flags, probably like flags or banners. The Chaimen Shegil Anos Amein, when it came time to answer Amein, Hal of Melech Besudar, he would wave the flag, wave the banner, the Chol Am Onin Amein, and everybody would answer Amein afterwards. And of course comes Tosfos and says, I don't understand. This is the definition of an amen yisoma. How are they able to go ahead and do this? How are they able to go ahead and answer amen in such a situation? They didn't hear the brachos. And now the Gemara goes on to say the tragic end of this congregation, that they were all destroyed. But interesting, the Gemara doesn't say they were destroyed because of amen yisomas. They were destroyed because they went ahead and went back and rebuilt a giant congregation in Alexandria, even though the Torah says, also Shubeder Chazehot. Bottom line is, though, how are they able to go ahead and have such a practice and not worry or be concerned about Amin Yisoma. And I'll read you the words of Tosfos as Tosfos asks it. Tema Darmina Besukah Daf Nun Aleph and Beis Balexandri Shemitzrayim Shayosham Kal Gadol. There was a giant congregation. Vayuchom Kulam Mishmov at Neham Pim Avarech. It was impossible for everybody to hear the person who was making the bracha. Vayu Menifim Besudarim. They would wave flags. Kedei Sheyidu Chasimas Abrachos V'Yanu Amin. So how is this possible? How is this not an Amin Yisoma? So Tosfos gives an answer, and let's read it, and then we'll just categorize it. Tosfos' answer is V'Yesh Lomer. They knew which bracha the chazan was saying. Amnam, the truth is, lo hayu shomen oso. They didn't hear. Aval halcha. But in our situation, I don't know what bracha the chazan is saying. You're answering without knowing, without hearing it, and knowing what it is. So the answer that Tosfos gives is that we're going to make a difference. When we say Amin Yisoma is you don't hear the bracha, it's not just not hearing the bracha. It's you don't hear the bracha and you don't know what bracha is being made. But if you know what bracha is being made, and you come and answer Amin, that's not going to be a problem. So let's look at the people in Alexandria. The people in Alexandria were sitting there in Shul, and know the chazan is saying Chazaras Hashatz. And you know the first bracha he's going to make is Mogen Avram. The second bracha is going to be Mechayim Mason. So in that case, that wouldn't be a problem of Amin Yisoma. I think they can give another example, and that's from our contemporary synagogues, our contemporary shuls. And that is, of course, when we have, let's say, a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or a Shabbos Chanukah, or a Shabbos Chol HaMoed, where our practice is that the Chazan, when he says Chazar Sashatz, uses the Nusach, or the tune of Shabbos, until he gets to the last bracha being HaMevarech HaSamo Yisrael Bar Shalom. So if you come, and you know that the Chazan is during Chazar Sashatz, excuse me, and you hear everybody going, Amen. Then you can't answer Amen according to Tosfos because you don't know which bracha is being made. But if you happen to walk past and you hear everybody going, Amen, and we know that the last bracha when the chazan switches his tune to the Yontif Nusach, and we know it's Mevarech HaSamo Yisrael Bar Shalom, according to Tosfos, that wouldn't be a problem. Because again, it's only Amen Yisoma when, number one, you didn't hear the bracha and you don't know what bracha is being made. But if you know what bracha is being made, that's not going to be a problem of Amin Yisoma, and that's why the people in Alexandria were okay. The Rabbeinu Yonah, the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, gives a different answer to this question, and I'll read you his words. It says, "V'nira l'mori harav, the Targets, the Hasa mitok ha'chayim mutter." Why was it allowed in Alexandria's time? Neshikvar hispalu kol echad ve'echad. Everybody had fulfilled their obligation. They came and shal yosin l'chiyuv, since they weren't going and saying Amen to brachos that they're mechayvim because they already daven Shemona Esrei. Shekvar yatzu dechavasan lo nechoshim neshem lo shemar bracha. We're not so concerned if they hear the bracha. Ela shemiskavi latzeis mechiyuv ba'anias Amen sarach sheyishma bracha. The issue is what? It's when you're intending to be yotze to fulfill your obligation. That's when you have to hear the bracha. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, what do we have? The issue is not a question about knowing what bracha it is. The question about being yotze with the chazan. So if you're already yotze with the chazan, so then not knowing what bracha he makes is not a big deal. But if you weren't yotze with the chazan, then you'd have a problem. So, what are we talking about? We're talking about a case of Chazar Sashatz. In a case of Chazar Sashatz, that people daven Shemon Esrei privately. So because they went ahead and daven Shemon Esrei privately, so that would be okay and that wouldn't be an issue. Of course, a nafkamina would be between the Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosfos, would be, let's say there's a person who, for whatever reason, didn't daven Shemon Esrei, and he wants to be yotze with the chazan, because we know that's one of the reasons why we have Chazar Sashatz. One of the reasons why we have Chazar Sashatz is for the person to be yotze with the chazan. So in this case, according to Tosfos, by you keeping track of whatever bracha you're making, or the chazan's making, count the first bracha, second bracha, third bracha, that's not going to be a problem, because as long as you know what bracha is being said, you have no issue in terms of Amin Yisoma. And that'll be okay. According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, there would be an issue. There definitely would be an issue, and you wouldn't be able to be yotze with the chazan at all. What's this machlokas based on? So Rav Reichman brings down in the Rishima Shiurim in the name of the Rav that the machlokas between Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah is based upon how we understand the role of Amen, particularly by Chazar Sashatz. And to introduce this, the Rav brings down that there are really two aspects to Amen. Amen has two functions. One function that Amen has is what we call a Kabbalah Stavarim. It's an acceptance of the words. meaning. For example, the Torah speaks about the Tochacha, right before the Tochacha, Moshe Rabbeinu brings a series of horrors or curses that could happen, potential curses that could happen to Klal Yisrael. And the Torah says, Ve'anucha la'am, ve'amru amen. Everybody answered amen. Amen, you're accepting that this potential curse could come true if I don't keep what we're doing over there. There's also an idea of ha'amanis devarim, or reaffirming is what you say. And they bring a pasuk, it says, Vayomer Yirmiyahu HaNavi, it says, Amen, Keni Asa Hashem, Yekemus Varecha. There you have an affirmation. So two ideas. One an acceptance, one an affirmation. According to the Rav, there's a big difference between an Amen that's for acceptance and an Amen as far as affirmation. When it comes to an Amen for affirmation, so all you really have to do is, you just have to know exactly what bracha is being said. And even if you don't hear all the words, you just have to know that this person is davening or this person is making a bracha. Because all you're really doing is, you yourself are affirming what the person is being said. Right? In order to accept something, you are just affirming as to what the person says. And therefore, what you're really doing is, you're being ma'ames, the words of the mevarech. So really, who's the one that really has to know what's being said completely? The mevarech, by you just affirming his words, as long as you know that he is making a particular bracha, like you know the chazan is saying chazar sashatz. If you don't know exactly which bracha it is, but you know it's chazar sashatz, or you know that he is in the middle of davening, and you're affirming that he's davening and his tefillin and stuff like that, that's not going to be such a problem. But if the idea is kabbalas devarim, if the idea is acceptance, well, in order for you to accept something, you have to know exactly to what you're accepting. And unless you accept the entire thing, that is already not going to be good until you hear the whole thing. What exactly is the role of Chazar Sashat? So the Rav goes on to mention an idea that I've heard mentioned a number of times in his name, and that is, we always assume that Chazar Sashat was instituted as an opportunity for those who are unable to daven by themselves to give them a chance to go ahead and be Yotze. And while that is true, it doesn't bode for today. Because today, hardly anybody who's in shul is Yotze b'shmur eshi l'chazim. Aside from the fact that we have printed Siddurim today and people know how to read, but if you don't know how to read, tefillah is one of these things that could be said in a different language according to some. And honestly, you don't really have anybody, unless it's a rare, rare occurrence, that the chazan is being yemotzi those who don't know how to daven. So the question is, so why do we have Chazar Sashatz? So the Rav goes on to say that Chazar Sashatz is not just there as a way to be motzi those who don't know how to say the davening, but it's actually a separate tefillah in itself, and that separate tefillah itself is called Tefillas Hatzibur. Meaning, Chazar Sashatz was not just an institution to be yotze those who are unable to pray, but it was also there as an aspect of public tefillah. It is the chazan's davening on behalf of the tzibur, and that's why there is some, and I've seen Rav Shechter do this, and I've seen other Talmidim do this, is that when they are at Chazar Sashatz, not only do they stand, but they stand with their feet together. The Rav Sachs also does the same thing there. They stand with their feet together because really what this is an example of actual Shmoneh Esrei. And that's why there's some people that have to keep their talis over their head during the davening for Chazar Sashatz as well. Because again, Chazar Sashatz is just like they would say, keep a talis over their head for Shmoneh Esrei, their own Shmoneh Esrei, Tefillas HaYachid. They would also go ahead and keep a talis over their head for the Tefillas HaTzibur as well. And the Rav goes on to say, or Reichman goes on to say in the name of the Rav, that this is exactly what the machlokas between Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosus is in terms of what is our role when we're answering Chazar Sashatz. Are we doing it b'toras kabbalas devarim, where we are accepting upon everything like this, that we are really, the chazan is saying this tefillas hatzibur on our behalf and as if we're saying it, so in order to that case, right? Or do we say, sorry, the chazan is saying it on our behalf, and we are accepting the words of the chazan, or are we just, it's a ha'amanis devarim, are we just affirming what the chazan says? What, of course, is the nafkamina? The nafkamina is like this. If we're going to be saying that Chazar Sashatz is really a kabbalas devarim, and we say amen, then we have to know exactly what bracha is being said. If you don't, and you have to also hear the entire bracha. It's not just enough to know what bracha is being said. You have to hear the entire bracha, because you're being mekabel, you are affirming what's being said. If you're just going to say that simply Chazar Sushatz is, the amens by Chazar Sushatz are just a ha'amanis tevarim, a simple just affirmation, as long as you know the bracha, then you're going to be okay. And that's what the difference, that's where Tosos and Rabbeinu Yonah differ in terms of what the people of Alexandria did. Tosos says that the people knew what the bracha was. So as long as they knew what the bracha was, they could answer Amen by seeing the flags, because what they figured out, Tosfos holds, that the answering of Amen by Chazar Sushatz is simply a Ha'amanis Devarim, and that's it. According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, and to say they had already fulfilled their obligation, it must have been even through Tfilas HaTzibur as well. Because otherwise it would not be able to work, because again, you need a Kabbalah Devarim, and that type of Amen is not going to be work. So you must be that they must have already fulfilled their obligation, and just were not doing without giving that same answering Amen from the Kabbalah Devarim for Tfilas HaTzibur as well. But as far as all of the brachos, where you need to be, you want to be Yotzi from somebody else, that everybody, both Tosus and Rabbeinu Yonah, are going to say, have a din of Kabbalah Devarim, and you have to hear the entire thing. Well, have a wonderful week.